Sin number 5, I'm a contractor, not a salesman. Most contractors have been there, that desperate, anxious feeling that comes when it's time to close a sale. You're worried you will not be able to say the right thing, answer the prospect's question in a smooth and persuasive manner that prevents them from saying those dreaded words that almost always means a no, which are, "Let me think about it." In fact, you might even feel frustrated that you have to sell at all. After all, you say to yourself, "I'm a contractor, not a salesman." Of all the sins of the mind that contractors commit, this is probably the most common, not to mention the most difficult to overcome. Fortunately, I'm about to help you eliminate your fear and hesitation by showing you how to think about sales in a whole new way. Understand this, first and foremost, you are a business owner. When someone asks you what you do for a living, how do you respond? If you're like most contractors, you reply with the business you're in. You know, I'm a general contractor, I'm a plumber, or I'm a landscaper. But that's not entirely accurate, because the moment you decided to strike out on your own, you became a business owner. And that is something much bigger than just a contractor. Look, if you wanted to remain married to your trade, you should not have opened your own shop. You should have stayed working for other people, building their businesses, and paying for their retirements. You are here because you knew life had something more to offer and you wanted to seize it with both hands. So congratulations. Embrace the title and change the way you think about yourself. This mental shift will do more for your wealth building than probably any other thing, because the moment you think of yourself as a business owner first and foremost, you become free to define yourself a little differently. You can say, you know, I own a plumbing company, or I own a construction business. You're not a plumber or a general contractor. You may never have to snake a drain, run a pipe, you know, frame a building at all, and still run a successful plumbing or general contracting business. So let's talk about the fundamental purpose of business. Because if you're still skeptical about this mental shift that it can make a big difference, think about it this way. A plumber plumbs, a builder builds, a painter paints. But what does a business owner do? Before I answer that, I want to mention something else. I've done a lot of strategic planning. You know, in our company, we worked with a lot of companies around this. And whenever we ask them why they're in business, they point to their mission statements. They tell me about delivering the highest quality or the best customer service or the best, product that they can to their clients. You know, a bunch of flowery, lovely stuff that's all well and good, but that avoids the fundamental issue. After all, the fundamental purpose of business is pretty dirt simple. A business exists to make money. And the business owner exists to make sure the business fulfills its fundamental duty. Period. Now, all the other things, the touchy-feely stuff is good. It is important, but it only happens when the business makes money to begin with. Otherwise, there is no business to speak of, and all the mission statements and customer service promises fly out the window. So why am I bringing this up in a chapter about sales? The reason is because nothing good happens until someone sells something. Sales equals income. You do not have a business if you do not have sales. So consider this. Do you make this mistake in the way you think about sales? The most common misconception I see among contractors is this. I really don't need to sell, because if I do my job well, my quality is going to sell itself. Now, I'm going to be a little blunt here. You might have a better quality HVAC company than anyone else in the world, but if you do not know how to sell and do not know how to communicate effectively with your marketing, no one will know and no one will give a crap. You have to put yourself in the right position and the right role. And as a business owner, your job is to gain commitment, just like we talked about it in the previous chapter. And this means gaining the commitment of people at all levels. Your prospects, clients, investors, employees, vendors, strategic partners, you know, anyone you come into contact with. The most successful entrepreneurs in the world are consummate salespeople in their craft or in their enterprise. They sell the idea of their company to the world aggressively. They win the commitment of others. This core shift in perspective will help you see that as a business owner, you are the head of the sales for your company, no matter how big it gets. So the question is, why do people hate selling? Because if this is so important, why do people hate selling so much? What's the big deal? The big deal are the objections. People hate getting objections because they cannot handle them and they cannot face them. I mean, you've heard these before. Your price is too high. Well, thanks for the info. I'll get back to you. You know, now's not a good time. Or, you know, things like this. So the moment you hear it, what happens is most people freeze, are unsure on how to respond to this. So think about yourself. How many times has a prospect hit you with an objection and you drive away discouraged only to think of the perfect response 10 minutes later? So why are objections so difficult to handle in the moment? The reason is it has to do with your heightened emotional level. The instant you hear an objection, your emotions get triggered. You feel hurt, you feel upset, rejected, you know, whatever else. And when your emotional level goes up, your intelligence level goes down. I mean, think about it. How many times have you said something in the heat of the moment you wish you could take back later? You know, this is not a criticism. It is what happens to everyone when they get emotionally triggered. That's why so many contractors find themselves arguing with customers over price or acting defensively or even leave the scene entirely and give up on the sale. And I will let you in on a little secret. The group hardest hit by objections is the S quadrant contractors. This is because they're so tied up in their business that when they hear an objection, they take it personally. And that makes it easier to get carried away with your emotions. B quadrant business owners, on the other hand, are able to see everything from a more detached perspective. Objections become a natural part of the process, not a personal affront to your work. They can ask for the sale without worrying about being too pushy. They recognize that at its core, sales is a numbers game. And because they have gotten good at systems and numbers, they have complete confidence that when they work the system, the results will come. So the question still remains, how do you handle objections? In order to handle objections with the B quadrant confidence we just mentioned, you need the right skills, the ability to handle objections smoothly and calmly. Just imagine what would happen to your sales if you could master this one skill. You know, they would probably go up, right? Probably way up. What is more, you would eliminate 80% of the awkwardness that accompanies sales situations. I want to share with you a simple formula for handling objections that will make all the difference between getting a big job or walking away with your tail between your legs. It's a technique I learned from Blair Singer, and it's available in his, it's a kit called the Sales Dogs Training School Kit. You know, I can't recommend this source highly enough. Now, here's a simple formula to handle any objection, anywhere, anytime, you know, any place in the world. When you get hit with an objection, here's the two-step formula to handle it. Step number one is acknowledge the objection. Step number two is ask an open-ended question, you know, one that cannot be answered with a yes or a no. Now, if this sounds too easy, you may be right, but the thing is, it actually works. So for example, let's say you are hit with an objection that your price is too high. I'm pretty sure you've heard of this one before. So first, you acknowledge the objection and validate your prospect's feeling, because this simply lets them know that you're listening to them. And most people like it when you listen to them. You know, this simple step will reduce the sales tension. Then you ask an open-ended question, one that cannot be answered with a yes or a no, to learn more about what is behind the objection and move the conversation forward. So in this case, you know, you may say something like, to acknowledge their objection, you could say something like, I understand that you feel my price is too high. Then you could ask them an open-ended question. What kind of budget did you have in mind for this project? Or you could ask them a different question. I understand you feel my price is too high. What are you comparing my price to? Or another way to answer this or handle this objection is, I understand you feel that my price is too high, but why is that? Now, the important thing to understand is that when you ask somebody an open-ended question, who is the heat on at this moment? Who has to come up with some answers? It's not you, it's your client or your prospect. You know, they have to come up with some coherent reason or some, at least a reasonable answer to why they're saying that your price is too high. And in most cases, the information they provide you with their answers is going to be some valuable information that you can actually use to handle the question or the objection. That allows you to respond with a much clearer understanding of what they need and want, the information that you can use to resolve their concerns and gain their commitment. So here's another one. Let's say the objection they give you is, how do I know I can trust you? You can acknowledge it and say, look, I can definitely appreciate your concern. Many contractors, you know, are not exactly trustworthy. Then you can ask, if I may ask you, what in particular are you concerned about? You know, this is a way better approach than trying to defend yourself or launching into a long-winded explanation to quote-unquote prove your trustworthiness. You have shown the prospect that you can listen and understand them, which has the effect of building trust right there and then. Now, can you see why this is so powerful? It eliminates the tense mood that comes in sales situations and helps your prospect feel like you are on the same side. But in order to be good at this, you need to practice and practice a lot every week for at least 30 minutes every single week. Because only with practice will you be able to turn off your emotional response to objections, you know, in the heat of the moment and remain cool and collected. And that, my friends, will make you a lot of money. The next thing you have to do is actually develop a sales system. In addition to learning how to handle objections in the moment, there is one more thing you need to do to make a lasting impact on your sales and bottom line. That is, develop a systematic approach to selling. Here are three critical components of a systematic selling process. The first thing is develop key performance indicators for yourself and your sales team. We'll go into key performance indicators, or KPIs for short, in more depth in the next chapter. But for sales purposes, this means knowing exactly what numbers you need to hit in order to make your business thrive. Ideally, you should be able to break this down into individual activities. For example, let's say you need 2 sales a week to meet your goals, and you know that it takes 5 bids to get 2 sales. Well, how many phone conversations does it take to get 5 bids? And how many dials do you have to make to get 5 conversations? The more specific you can be with your metrics and KPIs, the better. Step 2 is to get the tools you need to do the job right. These days, there is no excuse for your leads and prospects to be scattered around on half a dozen post-it notes in your truck in your office. You can gain access to web-based customer relationship management software, commonly known as CRM software, that will help you keep track of all of your interactions with your clients and your prospects. You know, you can try Salesforce or Zoho CRM. These are some inexpensive solutions and are mobile and highly effective. Step number 3 is to hold your sales team and yourself accountable for your performance. This starts with reviewing your numbers weekly. Get ongoing sales coaching and training. You know, don't let anyone off the hook, including yourself, for poor performance. Sales are a lifeblood of your business, and you need to take it seriously. Like marketing in the previous chapter, implementing an effective sales system can be a complex task. And don't try to muddle through this on your own. You need to get help to get yourself trained or get your team trained in sales. You can get either a sales coach or get an effective business coach that will help you through the ins and outs of increasing your sales. We at The Contractors Coach can help you with this as well. You know, you can go to our website, thecontractorscoach.com, and we can help you put together a sales process that will effectively increase your sales in a very short period of time. Now let's talk about a success story, Gordon. You know, Gordon is a successful general contractor, and after working with us for a while, he got pretty good at the objection handling formula. And here's an example of how he used it to land a $100,000 job after he had been told that they were giving the job to somebody else. So it was a house renovation for a wealthy couple in a high-end neighborhood, a job that required a bank's approval for the contractor before the contractor could begin work. So the husband called Gordon and thanked him for the bid, but he said that they had decided to go with another contractor, and they were calling all the other contractors that had bid on this project to let them know the same thing. So because Gordon had been practicing with us for a few months, he knew exactly what to do. So without missing a beat, he said, "I understand you've decided to go with another contractor. How do you feel about keeping me as a backup on your list in case things don't work out with your current contractor?" So after a pause, the husband replied, he said, "You know what? That's a great idea. I'll keep you on my list." A week later, Gordon got a call from the husband. The contractor they had picked was having a hard time getting approved by the bank, and they wanted to see if Gordon was available. And he was. He got approved and landed the $100,000 job right there, simply because he knew how to handle the objection.